Thank you all. Thank you very much. Secretary Gates, thank you for your introduction. I know I speak on behalf of President 41 when I say it has been a privilege for both of us to serve with this fine and distinguished man. I want to thank you all for coming. Laura and I are thrilled to be here to help commission an awesome ship and to honor an awesome man, President George H. W. Bush. To prepare for this day, I went back through some of my father's letters. I thought it was especially interesting to read one that he wrote in the late 1940s. He sent it to a friend. And here's what he said. He said, "You should see Georgie now. Whenever I come home, he greets me and talks a blue streak. Sentences disjointed, of course. He tries to say everything, and the results are often hilarious. Some things do not change. The aircraft carrier which we commissioned today may be the Navy's newest ship, but she has already had an interesting past. Her catapult testing took place during an unseasonable cold snap. Her christening was thrown into chaos by a fierce nor'easter. And during construction, the shipyard was closed down because of Hurricane Isabel. So in keeping with this ship's short history, I brought along an equally strong force of nature, my mother. Mr. Vice President and Lynn, thank you for joining us. Vice President Cheney has been a fabulous Vice President of the United States. Governor Kaine, thank you for your welcoming remarks. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, appreciate you joining us. Other members of the administration and their families, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, CNO Gary Roughead, Captain O'Flaherty, other members of the United States Armed Forces and their families, shipyard workers and managers, members of our family who have joined us, and all the friends of George H.W. Bush, we are glad you are here. The story of the USS George H.W. Bush begins in the early days of World War II when our dad enlisted in the United States Navy. Like many servicemen deployed overseas, he was sustained by a girl he loved back home. From her dorm room, she knitted socks for him. In remote Pacific atolls, he collected seashells for her. And when he returned home from war, the first thing he did was to make her his bride. And for 64 years ago this week, the love of my father's life has been Barbara Bush. Over the years, our parents have built a family bound forever by closeness, warmth, and unconditional love. Jeb, Neil, Marvin, and Darrow and I will always feel blessed to have had the best father anyone could ever ask for. We will always be inspired by the faith, humor, patriotism, and compassion he taught us through his own example. And for as long as we live, we will carry with us Dad's other lessons, that integrity and honor are worth more than any title or treasure, and that the truest strength can come from the gentlest soul. George H.W. Bush has the deep love of his family, the admiration of his friends, and the thanks of a grateful nation. So today we are faced with So what do you give a guy who has been blessed and has just about everything he has ever needed? Well, an aircraft carrier. The ship that bears our dad's name is more than 95,000 tons of aluminum and steel. She will carry nearly 6,000 of the finest sailors and Marines in the world. She represents the craftsmanship of many skilled builders and thousands of hours of preparation. And so I congratulate all of you on this tremendous achievement. The ship is a fitting tribute to a generation of men with whom my dad was privileged to serve. She's also a tribute to a new generation of American soldiers and sailors and Coast Guard men and women, airmen and Marines, who have stepped forward to defend the United States of America. Again, our troops are facing down a brutal enemy. Again, they are making America and the world safer. And again, they will come home in victory. People often ask what I treasure most about being the president. Nothing comes close to the honor of being your commander-in-chief. Every day I'm amazed by the skill and courage of our men and women in uniform. And as we send the USS George H.W. Bush into service, I know you will do credit to the sailors who served before you and the good man for whom this ship is named. I ask that God protect this ship and let her know only victory and peace. And I ask God's continued blessings on our wonderful nation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Secretary Winter, will you please join me and assist in placing George H.W. Bush in commission?
Mr. President, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, it is a great honor to be here this morning. Since ancient times, there have been sacred traditions associated with the christening, launching, and commissioning of ships. Wherever we look into the pages of our distant past, the process of bringing a ship to life was accorded special meaning by the mariners whose lives and fortunes would henceforth be intimately connected to the vessel that would take them far from shore. Given the vast size, awesome power, and unpredictable nature of the sea, mariners instinctively turned to divine protection in welcoming the birth of a new ship. Thus, the rituals that accompanied this process acquired a formal, solemn status and traditions that have carried through to our own times. The relationship between sailors and a warship is even more significant, as all sailors know that their safety and their lives depend on the quality, readiness, and performance of their ship. The lengthy period of time and many long days that follow a ship's christening impress into the minds of every sailor that the goal that all are working towards, the ship's commissioning, is not easily achieved. Today, that goal has come to fruition. Today, the hard work and ingenious efforts of many to bring about this moment have finally paid off. This is a ship that will make history, and today marks the first day of an illustrious journey. Of all the commissioning ceremonies that I have had the honor to participate in, Today's ceremony stands out above them all. Nothing else compares to the arrival of a new nuclear-powered carrier in our fleet. The impact of a new carrier is global, for no other ship represents to the world the power of the United States the way this does. Remember it always, and strive to forever make your nation proud of this magnificent warship. It is now my great honor to invite the President to place the ship in commission. Mr. President.
I hereby place the United States ship George H.W. Bush in commission. May God bless and guide this warship and all who shall sail in her.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Secretary Winter. Executive Officer, hoist the colors and the commissioning pennant.
Aye, aye, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the mast as we hoist the colors and the commissioning pennant. Quartermaster, hoist the colors and the commissioning pennant.
Hoist the colors, commissioning pennant. Aye, aye, sir.
Captain, the colors and commissioning pennant are flying over your ship.
Very well. Admiral Ruffhead, United States ship George H.W. Bush is in commission, and I assume command.
Very well, Captain.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Gary Ruffhead.
President Bush, President Bush, Secretary Gates, ladies and gentlemen, and especially the sailors of the United States ship George H.W. Bush. Today is a day of incredible work achieved and incredible work to be done. This nuclear aircraft carrier, a piece of sovereign American territory, a floating, movable American base, could only have been built here by the thousands of men and women who are American shipbuilders and who are without peer. The hard work and the ingenuity of the shipbuilder, the engineer, and the scientist towers above us today. However, while this day is a culmination for some, it is just the beginning for our sailors who will serve in George H.W. Bush. Captain O'Flaherty, to take command of this ship is to take on an awesome responsibility to the nation and to our future. The standard that you set will last a very long time when you consider that the last commanding officer of George H.W. Bush has not yet been born. This great warship will be a part of the next 50 years of American history, in peace and in war. None of us can predict what the next 50 years will hold. And few would have expected when we commissioned the USS Kitty Hawk decades ago, the aircraft carrier that this ship replaces, that it would go from donating 300,000 gallons of water to drought-stricken Hong Kong, to launching carrier airstrikes into Southeast Asia, to participating in a contingency operation during the Iranian hostage crisis, and to striking ashore in two wars in the Middle East. Recently, we have seen our carriers strike targets ashore, and similarly, they have served as staging bases for the largest humanitarian relief operation ever undertaken, the tsunami of 2004. And while we do not know exactly what the future holds, we can be sure that USS George H.W. Bush will provide commanders-in-chief for the next 5 decades with options, options to respond in ways that no other nation can. So, Captain O'Flaherty, to the sailors of this ship, today you bring life to this extraordinary ship. Your skills and your enthusiasm, your courage, and your determination will lead this ship to greatness. Set the bar very high so that everyone is always reaching for it. Your ship's namesake and the nation expect nothing less. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Admiral Ruffhead, for your remarks and your leadership. Ship's company, all 10, halt! I will now read my orders. From Chief of Naval Personnel to Captain Kevin O'Flaherty, United States Navy. Subject, Bureau of Personnel Orders Number 3538, 18 December 2008. Upon commissioning of United States ship George H.W. Bush, CVN 77, report for duty as commanding officer. Signed, E. Masso, Rear Admiral, United States Navy, Commander, Navy Personnel Command. Ship's company, pup raid, ref. Ladies and gentlemen, as many of you know, our namesake was the 41st President of the United States. Less well remembered, however, is his incredible journey to that office. Not long after Pearl Harbor, he elected to postpone college, and then 3 days before his 19th birthday, became the 19th, the youngest naval aviator in United States history. He served in Torpedo Squadron 51 and USS San Jacinto during World War II and the Battle of the Philippine Sea, one of the Pacific Campaign's largest air battles. During a later mission in September 1944, against Japanese shore installations, his plane was hit by anti-aircraft fire. Despite damage, he completed his attack, then flew several miles out to sea before bailing out. Rescued by the submarine USS Finback, he later returned to San Jacinto and participated in further combat operations until his squadron was rotated home. Having completed 58 combat missions, earning the Distinguished Flying Cross and 3 Air Medals, he remained serving until the end of the war. He then entered Yale University, graduating a short 2.5 years later in 1948, having captained Yale University's baseball team and playing in the first 2 College World Series. Entering business upon his return to Texas, he later served as a member of the House of Representatives, as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, as Director of Central Intelligence, and as Ronald Reagan's Vice President. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my great honor and privilege to introduce the Honorable George Herbert Walker Bush.
Thank you very much. Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, all the distinguished guests here, I want to single out Captain O'Flaherty. What a great man he is, and how lucky we are to be in command of this ship. If you'll forgive an old Navy man a little reminiscing, being here in this ceremony takes me back 65 years to another commissioning, this one on the shipyards of Philadelphia for the USS San Jacinto, the light carrier upon which my crewmates, for very few of whom are with us today, and I were preparing to serve in World War II. Speaking of many of them being with us, I feel like Phyllis Diller when she said, "All my friends are dying in alphabetical order," but I'm glad to be here. And a few memories of that distant day, December 15th, 1943, stand out. First and foremost, it was during that trip to Philadelphia that I gave my fiancé, a certain Barbara Pierce of Rye, New York, an engagement ring. She had come down for the ceremony with my mother, and we had only just that week made our engagement public. Barbara and I thought we'd done a pretty good job of keeping our romance a secret, but by that point in our courtship, it is possible that the Germans and the Japanese were the only people who didn't know we were planning to get married. The other memory that stands out from this first commissioning was the fact that I was thought that the San Jack was by far the biggest ship or anything else I'd ever seen. At 660 feet long and 120 feet high, it cut an impressive figure to be sure. But next to this ship, it really cannot compare. Almost twice as long, with a 4.5-acre landing field, a tower that exceeds up to 20 stories above the waterline, and a feature that a few of my granddaughters in particular would really like. That's right, on board this carrier, there are mind-boggling 1,400 telephones. For all of the special enhancements this carrier has received, however, for all of the state-of-the-art technology and the safety, the environmental features, the most important element will finally be added today in the form of the men and women who will serve aboard this floating naval air station. To those who are sitting out there where I was 65 years ago, preparing to serve aboard your new ship, I wish I was sitting right out there with you, ready to start the adventures of my naval aviation career all over. I don't know if I could have handled the jets we fly today, but as you prepare to man this ship, I do know that you take with you the hopes and the dreams of every American who cherishes freedom and peace. And you take with you the undying respect and admiration of the entire Bush family. In just a few moments, I will take part in helping to set the first watch for CVN 77. And from that moment on, until this ship is officially retired many, many years from now, you will form an unbroken line of patriots protecting this special piece of American territory. As someone who has stood that watch and remembers the quiet solitude of that experience, I know you will find comfort and inspiration, particularly in the night sky, for it is basking in the splendor of the stars that you will truly understand the majesty of creation and bear witness to the certain hand of God. Make no mistake, the work aboard this ship will be routinely difficult and sometimes dangerous, but the freedom we seek and the peace we desire can only be found in the countless sacrifices you will make and everyday tasks you will perform. So thank you for your service. Good luck to each and every one of you, and may God bless the men and women who sail in CVN 77.